Welcome back in. It's the Morning Shift, Sports Radio 929 The Game. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. It is time for the wake-up call, 404-726-0929. A couple of questions we've been wrestling with today. First of all, coming off the Tyrese Halliburton's dad getting into a Giannis, a time that your parent overstepped their boundaries. We're also talking about Atlanta Falcons rookies. Which of those guys, which of the newcomers do you expect to be a starter here in year one? I think it's a more difficult question other than Jalen Walker. And Jalen Walker, look, I think situationally he'll be used, but I think whether or not they're starters is just depends on what down you're playing, right? And so that'll be the question we have going in. Also, we talked earlier about whether or not 100 Atlanta Falcons or 100 men in general could fight off a gorilla. And I have to believe that they would, to be honest. But it's just, Allie, I don't know.
Well, on Twitter, we have our first person saying that the gorilla would win over 100 men. Joe Mama said the gorilla would win. He also said his mom has been overstepping his whole life.
Yes.
And that Pierce is likely to start.
James Pierce. And that's kind of what I said, yeah.
I agree with him. The average person, under 100 average men, a gorilla is going to win. 100 professional athletes, like football players or UFC fighters, yeah. Maybe NBA players. I don't know. Baseball players, I don't think so. I don't think 100 baseball. 100 baseball athletes sometimes look a lot more like an average person than an NBA or
the
NFL
Bartolo
player.
Colognes of the world.
Yeah. I mean,
I just think it's the sheer mechanics of it. Like, what can you really do with 100 people on one gorilla? Like, you couldn't even get 100 people to touch a gorilla at the same time.
Well,
you know what I mean? Pause, but yeah.
I know. Someone with size and strength and power and speed and the agility and everything, the gorilla's going to work out like in the 70s probably.
Yeah, I agree.
But
with
now,
that.
Like, again, the
He's
average.
He's going to get through 50 of them.
Yeah, but the average person that doesn't have those traits, it'll be a lot easier for the gorilla's stamina will be a lot higher. Of course, I think the question, see, what the question we should be asking is 100 Abe Gordons versus one gorilla.
Yeah, and I would,
Abe would tell you that there's a YouTube video. He's already figured out how to beat gorillas.
Abe's going to tell you that all 100 are going to run away and that it's going to be up to the gorilla to chase him down. And he's like, by the time he gets to number 50, he's going to be exhausted.
But that's not – but see, that's the thing.
That's the thing.
Like, Abe's a goalpost mover sometimes.
We need to put it in terms of like a bullfighting ring. You know what I mean? Like, you got to stay within a certain amount of boundaries.
Isolated.
Anyways, let's go – Let's go out to the phone lines, Dylan. Let's talk to our buddy Dan over in Decatur. Dan, good morning, man. Hope you're having a good one.
Hey, man, good morning. Y'all off the chain. First of all, Allie, I'm sorry. I talked yesterday with you guys. I didn't get to welcome you, so welcome, Allie, to the morning shift. Oh, second of all, have y'all ever seen a gorilla go to work? Have y'all seen two gorillas fight? YouTube that. One of y'all with your iPads or with your...
I watched all that stuff.
Yeah. Man, ain't no way in the hell. I don't care if you are Mark Henry. I don't care. Hey, man, the strength of a gorilla, dude. One smack, an open hand smack, pimp slap from a gorilla, dude, will knock you into probably the next however many decades. I don't know, dude, but it ain't happening. Honestly, I think James Pierce has the best chance to start. I still think about, we have Arnold Ebiketti. I want to see what Braylon Trice is going to do. So I'm really just curious to see how they're going to, kind of form that rotation and how that's going to go. But out of the two of them, I think James has the best chance to start. Jalen, I think, is going to be more of a situational guy. And even when we put him in those situational moments, he's going to come through. And both of them have a chance to make an immediate impact, man. Y'all have a great day.
Thanks so much for calling in, Dan. A lot of good points right there. You want to see what happens with Braylon Trice. I love the Mark Henry reference. Like, that just, like, yes.
Oh, a big man. World's strongest man.
Dude, did you see the cut that was going viral about Mark Henry? I can't remember who was telling the story, but they walked in, and Mark Henry's all upset in the locker room, and it was because he was trying to rip a quarter in half and couldn't do it. But he had bent it. But it was actually bent. And it was like, I don't even think with pliers I could bend a quarter.
I think his son had started wrestling recently. I think I remember seeing something by the son. I remember when they called him Sexual Chocolate.
Dude, it's so good. One of the best personas that wrestling has ever seen. Mark Henry, Mr. Sexual Chocolate. All right, let's go back to the phone lines, dial on. Let's go over to our buddy Marine Tim. He's at Atlanta Country Club. There you go.
Hey, how are y'all doing today?
Good, man. How about you?
Oh, not bad. When you talk about parents and, not necessarily overstepping bounds, as I was playing rec football, my dad had one of the biggest, most booming voices there ever was, and he'd be like, "Get in there, Tim!" and everybody I ever played with, from the first year I played in the first grade till I got through high school, everybody knew my dad's voice.
There you go. I love that, man.
And I just want to say welcome, Miss Allie. And also I want to say Squid, from the squad leader of the Squid Squad, congratulations on Miss Pork Chop.
There you go, man.
Appreciate
the phone call.
And that's
today,
the founder of Pork Chop's name, if I'm not mistaken.
Hey, hit him straight out there at Atlanta Country Club, Tim. Hit him straight, man. That's where I wish I was coming up here in about 30 minutes. You know what I mean? Nonetheless, I think it's awesome. Yeah, and I love the shout outs to Miss Allie and Allie's Army going, you know, with the we got a request earlier, Dylan, to play a bugle for Allie's Army anytime somebody calls him Allie's Army. I think that's phenomenal.
We'll get that hooked up. That is absolutely phenomenal.
Amazing. Yeah,
phenomenal. We just need the one caller now to go like Allie's Army or something like that.
I love it, man. Let's go back out to the phone lines real quick. Let's head out to our buddy Uber Steve over in Atlanta. Uber Steve, what's going on? Good morning.
Oh, man. Good morning. Good morning, man. Big up Allie. Allie's Army.
Oh,
there,
dude. I knew it.
I knew it. Amazing.
He didn't even have it ready. Love
all
it.
All right, but check it out, man. Let's just keep it real. Wake up, man. Ain't no way in the world 1,000 men beating one full-grown silverback gorilla, man. What are y'all talking about here, man? Listen, the gorilla's defense mechanism is his body. Like, well, even if you get the gorilla tied, you still can't hurt the gorilla.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's so true.
Come on, man. Don't do this to yourself, man. Just give up. As far as the starter, as far as who's going to start, I mean, yeah, I like the James Pierce. I'm going to go with everybody else on that. Yeah. And, yeah, my mom never really overstepped her boundaries with me, man. I was a bad guy. She always should have did something.
Appreciate the phone call, brother. Appreciate the phone call.
I'm thoroughly confused with the James Pierce over Jalen Walker. It's not anything other than the fact that Jalen Walker has so many ways you can use him.
Yeah, that's what it is.
But to me, that's why he is the starter, because I can have him out there in any down. To me, James Pierce is much more of a situational player, and he's got to come in and kind of beat out two guys who have established themselves. I mean, Leonard Floyd is an 8.5 sack guy. You know, he had four seasons of 10+. And Arnold Ebiketie is a guy that's gotten better and played and become somewhat of a 2-3 down guy himself. But Jalen Walker, to me, I mean, he could play. We don't know what Troy Anderson or J.G. Bertrand or Devon Diablo are going to do, and he could be inside, he could be outside, he could be everywhere. So that confuses me a little bit, but I'm glad we're having that. I'm glad it's even a discussion.
Yeah, I'm the same way, man. And it seems like we have options in a lot of these spots for the first time in a while. And I think that my hesitance as far as Jalen goes, is just simply, I think Troy Anderson, if he's healthy, is a good player. We saw it a couple of times last year, NFC Defensive Player of the Week. And then Caden Ellis obviously is one of the captains of the defense. You're not going to supplant him there in week one. I think James Pierce, just situationally, you bring him in on third down, and it's like, all right, it's go time. So we'll see what happens. Let's get one more phone call. Let's head out to a member of the nation, unfortunately. That's our buddy Tinker out in Kennesaw. Tinker, good morning, man. Hope you're having a good ride out there in the truck.
So, Tank.
No, we're about to go spend all day in the attic, so we're about to have a whole lot of fun.
Hope you hydrated, man.
Oh, we will. And welcome, Allie.
Thank you so much.
Well, I guess we get started. My parents never did overstep boundaries. My dad, he coached ball for us and everything, me and my sister. He just knew how to talk to kids and relate to them.
Attaboy.
You know, talk to them, not down at them. And as far as that gorilla, 100 men, oh yeah, whoop them all day. My old lady doesn't stand a chance. And it's not a physical thing. She would just nag him to death.
Oh, wow.
Oh, Tink. Oh, man, I hope she's not a listener.
By the way,
hope that couch is comfy.
Yes, sir.
Ding.
Good day for Squid Nation and Allie's Army. A tough day for the Mafia.
Yeah, sometimes they, like
they're
that.
Dwindling. Either there's some people leaving the Mafia to go to the Army, or...
Can't be that long. Gotta cut that down.
That reminds me of Salute Your Shorts.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
This is amazing.
You know what's funny is we brought back Top 5 yesterday, and I know we got to get a break in a sec. We brought back Top 5 Tuesday. I have a Top 5 idea that I was going to bring up of best childhood shows, and it was like Salute Your Shorts and Rugrats and Doug and like all the Nickelodeon
Hey, Dude.
Like,
Hopefully your list is better than the Outcast list.
Well, look, man.
Because you
could
say
be called
something.
Where's your list at?
You know botched what I mean? That. That was a botch of all botches.
You need to look up the man in the battle versus the man on the hill. You know what I mean? I'm down here in the trenches. Anyway.
Well,
maybe I should feel that way about
last very long in those trenches.
Maybe I should feel that way about
talking
about the Colorado Rockies, because I called them the Bad News Bears just a minute ago. We'll break into more of this conversation, man, about the Colorado Rockies, Atlanta Braves, and their face off later on today. Stick with us here. It's the Morning Shift, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back in, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's the Morning Shift. Mike, Allie Mac, Squidbilly, Dylon, who is a less than stellar judge of which one Wednesday, but that's another conversation for another day. Some of you guys are definitely.
It sounds bitter to me. Why don't you cry about it? Yeah. Maybe you should do better.
Maybe
be better, Michael.
I can't. Like, can we save that sound so that next time he complains,
do better?
Because it happens every single day?
No, it doesn't.
Maybe
I only complained once, and I was truly cheated, and I felt that way.
You refused to ever play again, like no less than a month ago. You walked there and you're like, I am done.
Because I felt like there was a judgment made just to be nice, and I don't like that. You either win or you lose.
Maybe.
There is no nice.
You should do better.
I was really good that day. I wasn't. You know what? I'm not going to go down this road. But all I can say is the other contestant openly said that they conceded in the middle of the contest and yet still somehow got a winning judgment. Yeah, I felt a certain way about that.
All right.
Anyways,
man.
I digress.
Is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. We got a Life of Squid coming up in just a few minutes.
Hey, Mike, can I ask you a question?
Come on, man.
Allie, I want you to chime in, too, before we go. And this just popped in my head, and it's something I've been thinking about before we go to Braves. I keep hearing people keep bringing up the Falcons passed on Mike Green, the edge rusher out of Marshall. And I'm a big Mike Green fan, as you guys know. I loved his film. And he's a guy that fell because of personal issues, off-the-field issues. Not personal, but off-the-field things that he was – happened with him, that he fell to what, like late in the second round, I think?
Yeah.
And
I can't remember what pick, but yeah, you're on it.
The Ravens took him. I think it was like 52 or something.
Yeah, 59th overall.
There you go, 59.
The Ravens took him, and I keep hearing people say, well, the Falcons should have taken him at 46. Oh, look, this is why the Ravens are one of the best organizations in football. They're not afraid, and they always find a way. And it irritates me because – the Falcons and the Ravens are in completely different situations. The Ravens have a defense that is loaded already. So for them to take a risk on a guy at 59, that is nothing. I mean, they were in the AFC Championship game 2 years ago. They were in the divisional round last year. They're one of the best teams in football the last 2 or 3 years. They have an MVP, two-time MVP in Lamar Jackson. They're stacked both sides of the ball. They're a team that can take a risk with a guy off the field. The Falcons are not. So when people get mad at the Falcons for not taking a risk on him at 46 because they traded up for Pierce, I just think it's like revisionist history, and it's also the kind of thing that the same people would murder them if they took him and he was out of the league in 3 years.
Yeah, and you know what? And it's not even for me about Baltimore's culture or the situation or anything like that. It's just straight up, like, we've all seen the meme, Allie, where the guy is walking with his girlfriend and he turns around and checks out the other girl.
Uh-huh.
We've all seen that. That's exactly what some people are doing with this whole Mike Green thing. Like, it's just straight up like, oh, I know we got James. like, okay, explain to me why one is so much more valued over the other one. And we got two edge rushers. And my thing is, like, when you look at the, and we should have drafted him at 46 and he falls to 59. Why are we not talking about the fact that every other team in the NFL passed on the guy, like twice essentially, before he gets to 59? You know what I mean? Like, why is it that we as Falcons fans got to go window shopping and have this buyer's remorse of, you know, what we did or we did not do? Be happy about the guy we brought in. We have no idea at this point which one of those guys is going to be a better edge rusher. None. We have no idea. So I just think – I know that some people fell in love with Mike Green. A lot of people didn't even know his freaking name before he went viral at the Senior Bowl and ran over Josh Connerly.
That's the problem for me. That's the problem for me, Mike. That's a great point.
Yeah. All right, so let's spend a couple minutes talking about the Atlanta Braves. They will face off in the series finale with the Colorado Rockies today. You'll get Chris Sale going at 3:10. Bo, we've talked about it a couple times today. Never in a gazillion years did I think we'd be sitting here on April 30th talking about a chance for the Braves to claw back to 500. But like a lot of people have said, the team is just too talented to have started the year as badly as they did and think they're just going to go away for the next 6 months.
Well, as usual, you're wrong about my Braves. I'm right. No, I'm just kidding. I don't think I had him. I don't think. But remember.
Nope, not going to let him do it to me today, Allie. Not going to let him do
it. Was it you? I can't remember where we were. I can't remember if it was me and Abe or it was me and you.
It's probably you and Abe. Y'all are like best friends.
But I said, no, I'm talking about when I was doing the show.
Okay.
Because April's been a blur. But I remember saying, look, man, it's not that hard. Just win 2 of 3. Just win 2 of 3. And they've kind of done that. They've won 2 of 3. They had a sweep in there on both sides where they got swept and they won. And they swept somebody. They had a disastrous road trip to Tampa Bay and to Toronto. But yeah. they've just kind of clawed back and just kind of stayed steady. And it's been kind of cool to watch. And they've been very – it's been a very bronze – Allie, I think you might get this reference very well because of your knowledge of the Braves. But they've had a very Brian Snitker stretch where they've just stayed steady. And they've kind of, and like they're what 14-8
win game,
but they're 14-8, and it's like the Bobby Cox Snitker just win 2 of 3, just win series, and it's gotten them back, and they have done it all kinds of ways at the plate.
Yeah, I do think, and I don't want to point this out before we go any further. You'll see the Dodgers coming to town this weekend. The Dodgers are great, and obviously we saw that front and center to start the year. They're 20-10. Dodgers are also 6-7 away from home. So I think there's an opportunity there for a little bit of a get-back series when it comes to the Dodgers.
Well, and I might have had a little bit of a different take when they were not winning at the beginning of the season. Baseball is all about who gets hot when. So maybe it's a good thing we didn't start out so hot because it's a long season, and maybe later on these wins will really kick in.
Yeah, it's a good point. Mike, real quick before I get life squid, you brought the Dodgers are 6-7 away from home. They're only 6-4 in their last 10, and that includes a 4-game winning streak.
Let's
so the
go,
Dodgers
baby.
have while they got off to that what like a 10-0 start or 9-0 or something,
yeah.
They haven't been since you know they haven't been this amazing $500 billion roster on the field like they have been in the payrolls thing. So they have struggled a little bit, and I think we might be getting them at a good time because there's always a good time for me, Dylon. Yep, Baron Burton's a little W sauce, a little Fireshire Michael, maybe in the Bloody Mary mix. I bet Allie likes Bloody Marys. I'll give her some Bloody Mary mix from Key West style.
Bloody Marys are over mimosas every day. Yes.
Yeah,
there
enough.
You go. And my friends, the Allen Lager, a little New Round Brewing. Get on the Beltline and see them. Check it out. Check out their the beer that's the official beer of Kennesaw State Athletics. So, you know, John Gruden left ESPN. He used to do the quarterback camp. He went back to coach the Raiders, and that ended, well, not so great for him. And now he's at Barstool Sports. And he's brought back the quarterback little thing that he did. And I didn't really watch much of it because I don't check out a lot of online stuff from Barstool. I just see things that pop up on Twitter, but I'm not the biggest fan. I'm not a hater either. I'm indifferent. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's got some good content, some bad content. But he has Jackson Dart, and he's like, all right. It's amazing because you know how into it Gruden gets, and Jackson Dart, who did get up drafted by the Giants, he's kind of awkward in this whole process, but Gruden's like, I want you to do the snap count. I want to hear your snap count, and it sounded, it was very interesting audio. Let's take a listen, Dylon.
Stand up. Let me see your snap count. Let me be honest with me, because I see at USC, I see this guy.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
You ready?
Yeah. No, I want to hear the snap count.
Yeah.
Really? Every time?
Every time.
Do you have like a dummy clap or anything?
Yeah, we call it purple.
What's that? No shit.
Yeah.
For 3 years, you've been clapping. I think I could do that.
Let me hear it.
No, I ain't doing it.
The joke's on John Gruden, though. This is what I've started to realize. We make fun and we try to get all these guys to adapt to what the NFL is. Guess what? Some of the best NFL coaches right now that are calling offense, they call college plays. I just got news for you, man. College games coming to the NFL, whether you like it or not. So I would, as an offensive lineman, though, Bo, I'd hate the clap. I would have hated it. I would have hated that.
I just don't know how you hear it. I mean, I think – I don't understand how you hear a clap. And I know that you have the guy turning around and he does his – the left guard does his little arm out. But how I could barely hear that clap in the audio, and Dylan had it turned all the way up. How are you hearing that with, you know, in the Superdome in New Orleans?
Yeah.
Huh? How are you hearing that when all those people are going crazy? I don't know how he heard it in the Swamp or Tuscaloosa. But it's so good. I just love Gruden's reaction. He's like, for three years you've been clapping?
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, no blank.
Yeah.
And he goes, my favorite part was is when Dart's like, do it. He's like, no, I ain't doing it.
He goes, and be honest with me. And then you're okay. Well, did you just kill a fly or like, yeah. No, I love it. I would have hated that. And the thing is, you lose the hard count. You lose the, you know, everything trying to draw them off sides, man. So
well, that's why you got the dummy clap, Mike, with
we got to move on because we got Eric Edholm coming up. But when I thought when he was going to do that, I thought he was going to like fake clap, you know, like act like he was going to hit his hands and stop and then come back and do a dummy, you know, do a clap a minute later. No, I just did two clap.
Yeah.
And in homes all across the country, the lights turned off.
Now Lane Kiffin is like, well, I guess I got to come up with a new dummy count.
Yeah.
New snap count.
Anyways, we got to move on, man, because when we come back, we're going to talk to our buddy Eric Edholm from NFL.com. Eric Edholm was not a huge fan of the James Pierce trade. It's time for him to pony up and explain himself, Bo. Well,
he could be a beat writer for the Falcons then, couldn't he?
Not going there. Sports Radio, 92.9. Man, what a fun show so far today, and still obviously one segment to go, man. Appreciate you guys listening. It's the morning shift. Mike, Allie, and Squid Billy, Dylon on the ones and twos, working the computers, the phone lines, and giving us all of the positive energy back there behind the glass. Thank you so much for hanging out with us here on this beautiful Wednesday morning. A lot of NFL draft talk, and obviously we're excited about the Braves and the heater they seem to be on. But we do need to go to the phone lines to bring in our friend, Eric Edholm, draft writer for NFL Media and NFL.com. Eric, look, man, let's go ahead and just rip the Band-Aid off. All right, so we obviously follow all your work, and you wrote a nice piece the other day, and you were giving your draft rankings about how many teams have helped themselves. And I want to give you the platform because you were not a huge fan, or at least you had questions about the James Pierce move, my friend. And look, we obviously are very excited, Falcons fans, coming off the draft, and you get the Georgia Bulldog and everything else, and you address the edge rushers, but you're a little bit more hesitant.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I thought the Jalen Walker pick worked out beautifully. Obviously, the way it kind of, you know, I mean, I wouldn't say it fell into their laps, but that's sort of what happened, I guess. And, you know, I have no problem with them targeting a second pass rusher. You know, they doubled up at safety, too. I mean, that was interesting as well. But the cost to do it was high. And there were some people throughout the pre-draft process who warned me, James Pierce may have terrific talent, but can you count on him? That was the question kind of circulating and percolating in scouting circles. And I don't know. We'll see. I mean, it's anytime you're talking about intangibles with a player, it's really all over the map, right? I mean, I remember guys coming into the league with character questions and nitpicks and concerns about their work ethic or things that happen in college. And then all of a sudden the light goes on and you never hear about them again. And they become good pros and that's it. So that's obviously the hope. You know, James Pierce is a player that at one point, probably in August, I would say he started the year as a top 10 prospect or somebody had top 10 potential, I would say. And, you know, played well, but again, these issues did arise throughout. If I hadn't heard it from multiple people, and in some cases rather strong, I probably wouldn't have come down on him as hard as I did. So, you know, it can work out. That's the beautiful thing. I mean, these, you know, I think the ceiling for this class is pretty darn high for a five-man group.
Well, in that same light, why did Jalen Walker drop all the way to 15, Eric? Because in everything I saw, there's only I think I only saw like one or two people actually have him out of the top 10. The Daniel Jeremiah for NFL Network and NFL.com, he actually had him at 15 of the Falcons, last mock. But why did Walker fall like he did? Because there was a lot of teams that needed exactly what he was.
Really interesting talent. I don't think he's a fully realized player yet. I think that's the part of it. Everyone was excited about him, but everyone said you had to have a plan and you got to be ready to enact it. I mean, he did two things really well, I would say. One was a quarterback spy, one was rushing the passer. He's going to be undersized. That's already known. So there's a little bit of concern. Will the pass rush effectiveness dip considerably? You know, is he going to have to learn how to play with a little bit more power? I mean, you see him obviously rushing hell on wheels after the quarterback. He's got some juice. There's no doubt about it. He's a great finisher. He can make plays from behind and, you know, takes good angles to the ball. But I think his diagnostic skills as a linebacker, are still developing. You didn't see him. They rotated a lot, obviously, at Georgia. They had a ton of talent up front. But just they kept his responsibilities fairly lean. And he was really good at the things he did. But we just don't have a full body of work on him. So I think there was, even in this draft where there weren't a lot of blue chip, clear cut, top 10 type prospects, I still thought he had a chance to go in that range for, you know, all the excitement that he delivered on tape. But, you know, even with the questions.
Well, it's the morning shift talking with lead draft writer for NFL Media and NFL.com, Eric Edholm. And you wrote, Eric, that Atlanta could make some noise if Michael Penix Jr. takes a big leap forward, but you're not fully on board yet. So what else could get you on board?
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, obviously his variance is pretty wide range, I would say. You know, I mean, we've seen plenty of quarterbacks in that situation. Heck, you could argue Desmond Ridder was in a similar situation. I know not as high a prospect, but I mean, you get a little taste of action at the end of the year. You come into the starters, or come into the new season as a starter. Everybody's excited. Inconsistencies happen, right? We just haven't seen enough from him for me to say, oh yeah, stamp it on him. He's a top 10 quarterback. You know, Atlanta's going to be a playoff team, no doubt. You know, this team's had an interesting little couple of years here where they've been just kind of simmering and percolating and not quite there. And, you know, this is the guy who, if he plays to the level that you would expect out of the draft pick where they took him, I mean, yeah, he could be very good. So the weapons are there. I'm a huge Bijan fan. Drake's been an amazing, you know, addition so far. So, you know, there are pieces on defense that I think absolutely could make this a terrific team. But, yeah, I'm hesitant until I get a little bit more information on Pettix. So I like coming out. I really did. But, you know, his lengthy injury history is obviously sort of in the backdrop. And we'll have to see if the product turns into something this year.
Well, and Eric, you also, as part of your column, you wrote, hey, they still need to sort out the Kirk Cousins situation. And we actually played an interesting cut from Ian Rapoport yesterday where he's, you know, doing the insider thing, and he's like, you know, I don't really have anything to source on Kirk Cousins because they've been telling us all along that he would be the backup quarterback. We've been kind of gauging the temperature of the people we've talked to. We on this show have been under the impression that we think that he will be on the roster week one. And it sounds like the rest of the NFL media is starting to come to that conclusion as well. Where are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, is that a good thing, though? I mean, that's the other question.
Fair question.
Right? I mean, is that a good thing? It could be. It could be a terrific thing. If you had said, oh, it's definitely going to be a good thing the moment Kirk Cousins was benched, like you're forecasting what's going to happen in the offseason, they're actually going to hang on to him and all this, I don't know that people would be on board with that. Like, hey, man, the dude seemed kind of, you know, upset. He wants to still play. He wants an opportunity somewhere. But sometimes guys are kind of just forced into these roles. Let's just say Aaron Rodgers ends up in Pittsburgh. I know trusting Aaron and, you know, kind of going with his word is a tough thing. But, like, you know, he may end up there. The Steelers seem pretty confident this weekend. So if he goes there, who's begging the Falcons to trade him Kirk Cousins. I don't think a lot of people, right? So it's very possible that ends up being the case, but you never know. I mean, these things can turn on a dime, but if he ends up providing that layer of insurance for a quarterback with a lengthy injury history, and obviously I threw for 500 yards in a game last year, there's still something there, even though obviously the overall product was a little bit less than expected, not fully healthy himself last year, but if he's back and in that mentor role and possibly to step in for a start or two or whatever the case may be, maybe it is a good thing. So yeah, I've been back and forth. I haven't sort of figured out how they're going to address it, how they're going to deal with it, and how they're going to move on.
Eric Hedholm joining us here on the Morning Shift. The talk of the draft, whether we liked it or not, was Shedeur Sanders, and would he be taken in the first round? And then he wasn't. And you had some people in certain draft coverages who were just absolutely losing their ever loving mind and making a spectacle of the whole thing, which worked for the ratings. What'd you make of not only why did Shedeur Sanders drop, I guess, first and foremost, and how will that battle between he and Dylan Gabriel behind Joe Flacco pan out?
I'm happy to report I sat very calmly at home while watching the Shedeur thing unfold. I didn't react. My wife was proud of me. Everyone was clapping. It was good stuff. So thank you for that. Yeah. It was interesting, though, wasn't it? It made you scenarios play out every couple of years in the draft where that haven't really happened before or are a little bit new to this generation of observers, and we go, oh, wow, okay, interesting. I think what I've been able to gather is that, once he kind of got out of that top 50 range, we saw Tyler Shuck, a quarterback, go to Seattle, I think at the 50th pick or right around there. That's pretty much the back end of where you expect a player to come in and potentially compete for the starting job. If you did not view Shedeur Sanders as somebody capable of doing that, you probably weren't going to take him because, let's face it, no team wants the backup quarterback more famous than the starter, right? I mean, This is why Kaepernick didn't get a job for years. This is why Tim Tebow had trouble getting work, in his third place. So, it happens, right? And so the slide was maybe a little longer than I imagined. I thought somewhere in round four could happen. But, yeah, it goes in round five, goes to a team that drafted a quarterback 50, 60 spots earlier. It doesn't make sense on the surface, but, who's to say that he isn't the best quarterback there? I mean, Joe Flacco at age 40, Kenny Pickett, who's, was a backup last year, has already lost his starting opportunity, doesn't feel all that inspired an option. Gabriel was a surprise third-round pick. I don't think a lot of people felt like he was going to go that high. If he did, it may be to the Dolphins because he looks so much like Tua Tagovailoa. But, all of a sudden, this could end up being a pennies-from-heaven kind of pick, whether the owner dictated it or not. I don't know. But it's really interesting stuff. Kind of felt like Cleveland was an option for him all along but had no idea where he was going to go. So I guess it came full circle in a sort of way. And maybe he comes in humble. Maybe he comes in motivated. He can play. I just don't know what his ceiling is. I don't know if he'll ever be a great quarterback, but I think he can be a very respectable one.
Yeah. Finishing up here with Eric Hedholm, NFL.com. And let's build on that, Eric, and let's get all the cards out on the table in terms of these quarterbacks that were drafted. Let's take Cam Ward out of it. All right, and obviously we know that he's probably penciled in to be the Titan starter. I know they have the Will Levis conversation. Any of these guys stand out to you as they're in a really good situation? Jalen Milroe, Dylan Gabriel, you bring Tyler Shuck, Riley Leonard. Any of these other drafted quarterbacks you look at and say, boy, that's a place they could really go and flourish?
Well, Will Howard in Pittsburgh, especially if Rodgers plays this year, I think that could be pretty nice. I tend to have a little bit of suspicion about whether he can ever be a true starting quarterback or anything measurably better than, let's say, a Kenny Pickett. But, I mean, if there's a place to go and potentially sit and learn from a Hall of Famer, good or bad, I mean, whatever happens this year, that could end up being a good spot for him. They've got DK, they have Pickens for now, and, it's a good environment, I think. Caleb Johnson's going to be a star running back, I suspect, but I would also say Jalen Milroe in Seattle. I mean, I think he's going to play. I think they're going to have a package for him and use him early on. Yeah, Sam Darnold's the guy for now, but is anybody just sitting there saying, oh, yeah, like Sam Darnold's definitely not failing in Seattle? Of course it could happen, right, I think. So you're grooming and playing at the same time. Not all quarterbacks get that ability, you know, that opportunity, because he's a runner and he can run really well. So he'll get some shots to play. He'll be developing on the side, and he might project to be next year's starter in the right scenario. So those are a couple that went a little farther down that makes sense. Jackson Dart, obviously New York is a great starting opportunity for him eventually, but you know, I still have my questions about him too.
That's our buddy Eric Edholm. Eric, we're going to kindly disagree with the James Pierce take, but nonetheless, we appreciate
fine,
your words.
Fine, absolutely, yeah. I mean, look, like I said, he can play.
Yeah, we're excited about it, man. Thanks so much for hanging out with us today.
All right, have a great morning. See you guys.
Appreciate you.
Eric's always the best, man. Always appreciate hearing his input. So, yeah, like he said, you don't ever know. There were questions. I know that we've all talked about it, but nonetheless, the Falcons felt convicted, guys. They felt convicted to get him at 26, and I'm ready to ride. I feel good about the draft, and I know that there's been some secondary opinions a few days later, but nonetheless, man, I feel good about it. I really, really do, and hopefully Falcons fans do as well. Appreciate you guys so much hanging out with us today. A lot of fun on the show. We'll be back same time, same place tomorrow morning talking all things Atlanta sports. Until then, make sure you
stay cool, Atlanta.